Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 18. And starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" The Word of God says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why? Because when they're praying, they pray to God, they come to God, and He will take care of their situation. And though He may have them wait for a season, He will take care of their situation. So men ought always to pray. Now that word "ought" there is the word "die," and it means need, or is necessary, or has need of. It is inevitable in the nature of things. In other words, men need to pray. This is how we need to handle our circumstances. We need to handle them in prayer. The word "always" is pantote, and it's at all times. And the word "pray" is in the it's a present, middle, or passive deponent infinitive. That means that while it has a middle construction, it has a passive meaning. Which is a little bit interesting that pray should have a passive meaning. That means it's not just me producing the action, it's me receiving the action. So what he is saying there is, at all times, I'm receiving prayer from God. At all times, if you understand what prayer is, I like how Pastor Schaller put it recently, my wife put it similarly, prior to that, she said, prayer is one, based in the Word, and two, receiving from God. And then giving back to Him according to as you have received. So when a person is in a situation like this widow was, she was having some kind of an issue with a person, she had need of receiving from God so she would know how to pray to Him. And she always should have been receiving from God. Likewise, us. If you are in a situation, if you have a problem, if you are simply facing the details of life, you have a need. This is the natural course of things. You have a need. Your need is to always, at all times, receive from God and commune with Him in prayer. This is how you're going to avoid fainting. Now, it says we ought not faint, and it's men ekekain, it's kakos evil. It's from the word kakos evil, so it's make and kakain, and it literally means not to give in to evil. And then it also means, as an additional meaning, to turn coward, to lose heart, or to behave badly. You see, here's the thing. Prayer is what keeps me in communion with God. Prayer is what keeps me in communion with God. Yes, it is good to meditate. Yes, it is good to receive His Word. Absolutely. And in the meditations, the Holy Spirit may show me certain things. Absolutely. But where am I in communion with God? I am in communion with God in prayer. So don't lose your communion with God just because you are facing something outwardly. Inwardly, you still have the same thing going on as though nothing is happening. You have a communion with God. And this communion with God is a need for us to continually, at all times, it's a present tense, at all times continuously keep in this communion with God. Being in a communion with God like this keeps me from giving in to evil, or from becoming a coward, or from losing heart, or from behaving badly. That is fainting. Those are elements of the enemy's influence in my life. If I lose heart, if I behave badly, if I turn coward, these are all initiations to me from the enemy. The question is, will I respond to them or no? Well, prayer helps me to not respond to the enemy's initiations. This is a warfare passage. Because the woman had an adversary, and so do I. And I need to learn how to overcome that adversary, and she could not. And so she asked the judge to help her overcome the adversary. I do the same. I come to God and say, God, help me to overcome the adversary. And that adversary may be a literal attack from the enemy, like straight-on attack, projections or whatever, but it could also be something that he may send my way. It could be a difficult circumstance that maybe even God allowed or sent, but that the enemy wants to take advantage of. And so I pray. And I always pray, and I always receive from God in this communion with Him, because I need to. Not because I want to, not because I feel like it, no option to it. This is a need. It is the inevitable nature of things. I can't get rid of this need any more than I can get rid of breathing and stay alive. I need to stay in prayer. When you face your circumstances, do you pray out of desperation or communion? I think probably if we ask the Christian community, we'd get some who do both. Some out of desperation and some out of communion. And there's a few who wouldn't pray at all. But what do you do in your circumstances? Do you recognize that you are in a war? By the way, folks, just because you've closed the door to your house doesn't mean that the demons stay out. I think people behave like that sometimes. People think this way. I close the door to my house, now it's just me and my family, and demons stay out. No, they don't. One of the biggest areas of attack is within close relationships. They don't stay out. They attack through close relationships. If the enemy can get, let's say, your kid or your spouse to start attacking you, or you to start attacking your spouse, boy, he's batting 1,000. Do you realize that you have need to pray? He'll use any available voice box. Do you pray? Do you pray? You will faint if you don't pray. If you don't continue responding to God, you will faint. The fainting can take on numerous different forms. It can be being cowardly or losing heart or bad behavior. Now, bad behavior doesn't mean that I'm like a 10-year-old child acting like a brat. It can mean that. Some people do. But it doesn't have to mean that. It can be I start making wrong decisions. I start taking the wrong steps in my life. Maybe I walk out of a call. That's fainting. Folks, listen to this carefully. The extent to which you operate in your call is the extent to which you'll get to know God. Your call is your provision in which you get to know Him and to express Him. So make sure that you are careful to stay in your call. If you operate outside of what you are called to, you will have problems. And they're usually of an emotional or mental sort. You will have problems. You will have discontentment. You will have strife. Operate in your call. Your call is your provision. What do I mean? Let's say that I'm called to be a preacher. and I don't preach. But God has told me preach, and I don't preach. If I do that, I'm going to have problems in my life. I'm going to grieve and then ultimately quench the Holy Spirit. I'm going to leave the door open for the enemy to attack me. It's called disobedience to God. Once I'm disobedient to God, I'm available to the enemy. And it's fair game. Why? Because I've invited him in. I can't be possessed as a believer, but I can certainly be influenced. Let's say that you are called to do Sunday school, to teach children. Then if you don't teach children, you're going to end up with problems. You're going to end up with trouble. Now, there may be a season where you don't, or there might be a season where the preacher doesn't preach, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about decisions that you don't have to make. I'm talking about you got the church, you got the congregation, you got the pulpit, you just don't get in it. I'm talking about, okay, the class is there, you just don't get up and teach them. Let's say you're called to prayer. If you don't pray, you're not going to do well. Your emotions are going to go haywire. Your life is going to start falling apart. Why? Because you're grieving and then quenching the Holy Spirit who's holding your life together. There's not a human being on earth that's born again that the Holy Spirit is not holding their lives together. You operate in your call. You respond in your call. You don't take your call carelessly. You never step out of a call and you don't take your call carelessly. You don't take it half, well, I just didn't feel like preaching today, so I just didn't. I just didn't feel like teaching the kids. I just didn't feel like praying today, so I just didn't. I didn't feel like singing today if I'm the song leader. I just didn't feel like singing this. I just didn't. You're going to have problems. Let's say that you call to a specific church or a specific pastor. I just didn't feel like going. I mean, that's, you know, sometimes I'm going, sometimes I won't. It's just however I happen to feel at the time. You're going to have problems. It's called fainting. It's called giving in to evil. It's not just a bad mistake, it's evil. It's a kingdom involved. Hey, do you realize that if you go there, you are involved with kingdoms? If you don't do what God has specifically given you to do, you are dealing with kingdoms. If you don't manifest that representation of Christ, or you don't take that place, you are dealing with kingdoms. Men ought always to pray. So they stay properly aligned to God's kingdom. We ought always to pray. We have need of this. Without ceasing to receive from Him in a communion with Him. We don't have the option. This is a need. When we follow through on that need and we always pray, God comes through. When we don't, God has, that's like, God didn't give any promises for prayerlessness. Those aren't covered. So we ought always to pray and not to faint. You see, there is a serious thing going on here. It's called a war. Prayer is about war. Prayer is also about individual communion, but it's also about war. So learn to pray and not to faint. In Revelation 12:12, in the B part of the verse, the Word of God says, "Woe unto you, the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he had but a short time." So in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober and be vigilant, for the adversary, your personal adversary." Got that? You think everybody likes you? You think you're doing okay? You think, hey, I'm alone at home. This is like nobody bothering me. I'm behind my door. You have a personal adversary. You got that? Wake up. Hello, hello, wake up. You got an adversary. He's called the devil. He is a roaring lion. And he walks about. And he seeks whom he may devour. How? By causing them to faint. He devours by causing them to faint. What does the enemy do to those who faint? Those who are cowardly. those who lose heart, those who behave badly. You see, you can always tell when there is the influence of an enemy in somebody's life. You know how? Revelation 12:10. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. For the accuser of our brethren, listen carefully. The accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuses them before God day and night. You know how you can tell if a person is fainted? They're accusers. There will be very quick and easy accusation, very quick and easy criticism, very quick and easy finger pointing. They give it no other thought, and frequently they give it no thought because they feel they're kind of like, well, this is what I think, so it must be so. You see, there is an element of pride involved in fainting. Pride that I don't need to pray. Pride that I don't need the character of God in my life. Pride that I don't need to respond. Oh, pride that I can point the finger and say, oh, it's not me, it's that. It's not me, it's him, it's her. It's this, it's the situation, it's where I am. It's everything but where it actually lies. You see, you're a believer priest standing before God. Your decisions are yours before God, not anybody else's. It's easy for us as believers to try to blame everything and everyone else. By the way, I don't care what happened. Don't blame anybody else. It's your fault. What do you mean it's my fault? I didn't do it. You're reacting, aren't you? Nobody made you react but you. Nobody moved you but you. Don't blame the other person. Don't blame the situation. Don't blame the thing. Don't blame the time. Why do you think God brought those things? To show you something that's happening in your heart. When's the last time you heard accusation? When's the last time you heard criticism? When's the last time you heard negativity? Somebody who continuously lives in these things. The accuser of the brethren has caused them to faint. And now, they have given in to his government. They've become an available voice box, an available mind. And they think it's their thoughts because they're receiving the projections and the projection sounds like a thought. But they're not casting down the imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of Christ. They're promoting them. Folks, men ought always to pray. By the way, women ought always to pray also and not faint. As believers, we ought always to pray. This is our need, and not faint. I notice that people who get into these types of things where they become very negative often neglect that which God has given them to do. For example, people who won't get built up in the Word of God will easily become negative. People who won't operate in their portion will easily become negative. I'm not talking about people who are necessarily like unable. Let's say somebody gets sick or something like that and they can't. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to the person has the option and they choose not to do it. Something else is more important. Some situation is too big. How they feel just doesn't line up today. And so they don't. Spiritual slothfulness. And they faint. But they ought not do that. They need to pray. And not faint. If God has given you something to do, then do it. Because if you don't, you'll faint. You will give in to the enemy's kingdom. Don't faint. Do what God has told you to do. If God has given you a particular portion in the body of Christ, then express that portion. Let's say, and we have a wonderful song leader, and I'm not referring to this because of the person, I'm just using the example of a song leader. Let's say that there's a song leader in the church and the song leader refuses to sing. I don't feel like it today. Not in the mood. What is God going to honor in that person's life when they are called to do that? To edify the body of Christ. You see, you got to understand. I mean, I have a headache. You got to understand, my stomach hurts. You got to understand, I was up late last night. You got to understand, I'm busy. You got to understand, my kids or my husband or my wife, they're giving me a hard time. You got to understand, the situation at work is kind of rough. It's just not up to it. You do what God has given you to do as a faith response to Him. Knowing that as you take the step, He quickens you into the outcome. You respond in faith obedience, and God does the production. But they'll give it 10,000 reasons. They give it any reason they can why they can't do what God said. They're slothful. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Pray and don't faint. Receive from God in fellowship and don't faint. Be careful. Gauge yourselves. This is a good way for us to gauge ourselves. How often am I going to say, Billy over there is like this, or you are the finger pointing, the accusation of self or others? That's not from your own thinking, boys and girls. That's from the enemy whispering in your ear. And if you dare to verbalize it, it's from an available voice box that is willing to represent the enemy's kingdom. As a born-again believer sometimes. This is a Christian who has fainted. It's not a good thing to be a fainted believer. What do I do if I fainted? Because maybe you are there. You're listening on the internet. Maybe you are there. Maybe you have fainted. Maybe you are negative. Maybe you do accuse people. Maybe you are critical. Maybe you are judgmental and harsh. Maybe you are unkind. Maybe you do operate in your lost patterns. Maybe you are responding to the enemy. Maybe you don't have the fruits of the Spirit. What do? Well, in Revelation 12:11, the Word of God says that they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives unto the death. You start with the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because the blood of the Lamb deals with the fact that you're in failure. The blood of the Lamb deals with your bad decisions. The blood of the Lamb deals with the fact that you're willing to live in your moods. It eliminates the condemnation of sin. You see, you don't do anything that you haven't given yourself permission to if it's the wrong thing to do. Nobody faints unless they give themselves permission to faint. Somebody believes the lie that says it's okay for me to criticize or to be unkind. Somebody believes the lie that it's okay for me not to operate in faith obedience. Somebody believes the lie that God won't deal with me if I puff myself up and I act arrogant or proud. That's a lie that God will not deal with that. He will most certainly, mark my words, He will deal with it. And the fact that God is patient doesn't mean that God won't do it. Oh, God will do it all right. He might be merciful, but if I want change, then He will deal with me. Mark those words. Because if you are there and you do not humble yourself before God, you will see it come to pass. And there are people who will hear this message on the internet and for the next 4 days they'll be okay. But on the fifth day it's back to standard operating demonic procedure. But they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame Him when they say, God, I'm wrong. You see, applying the blood of the Lamb requires humility. God, this is what I'm like. That is a difficult sentence for a lot of believers. God, this is what I am like. God, I'm unkind. God, I'm negative. God, I'm critical. God, I'm an accuser. God, I'm a finger pointer. God, I'm reactionary. I live in unbelief, God. I don't respond to you at all. For some people, that's a very difficult place to go, because it requires humility, and frankly, they're lacking there. You got to humble yourself to apply the blood of the Lamb. You got to say, I am not the center of the universe. It's not my opinion that really matters. You ever meet somebody who really thinks their opinion is that important that God forbid you disagree with them? They fainted. That's what that's all about. They fainted. And they're now operating under the influence of evil, of Satan, of a demonic influence, a projection in their ear, because they have fainted. And people will hear this. This is going, for some people this will be very liberating, but for some people this will be very condemning. And for those of you on the internet who hear this and are being condemned, stop hiding behind condemnation. That is your flesh trying to put a shield against conviction. That's why people get condemned much of the time. It's their flesh trying to shield them from conviction. And it's a conviction that would totally liberate them. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time He will lift you up. But the person who has fainted is proud, and they elevate themselves, and you must submit. Situation must submit. People must submit. Everything must submit. It must be as they say. It must be as they want. And you better darn well agree. You have fainted. Pride causes people to faint. Do you understand that? Pride causes people to faint. Why? Because He opposes the proud. He opposes the proud. Oh, I don't want to hear that. That makes me feel really bad. Then get humble. Then stop operating in that which spares your flesh and be a little bit humble. And then operate in God's way of doing things. Operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Operate with positive. Oh, but that takes a... No, it takes two milliseconds and you're there. It takes a decision to humble yourself before God. And that's all it requires. But people faint. People faint and they stay there. And they say to themselves, oh man, you know, I had a bad day. Look how I was. Well, you didn't have a bad day. You were simply listening to the wrong voices. And you accepted what they were telling you. This is why a lot of people have all kinds of problems. Because they have fainted. They go out of the God's way of doing things. They step out of a call. They step out from the things that they need. And, you know, oh, I get built up. Well, that's great for you. But do you do what God has called you to do? If you're the song leader, do you sing? Do you lead the songs? If you're a prayer warrior, do you pray? If you're a preacher, do you preach? If you're a Sunday school teacher, do you teach? But if you don't, then God is opposing you. You're grieving the Holy Spirit and He wants you to stop. It's like people don't think God's ever going to say, stop it. God says, stop it all the time. But they don't listen. And so they're grieving Him and they're quenching Him and He is opposing them. Because they have fainted. And when I'm fainted, I'm easily moved by the enemy's kingdom. I mean, very easily. And there it is. A little breath and there I go. I'm this way one day and that way the next day. And I blame it on my circumstances. I blame it on people. I blame it on things. And none of it is true. Nobody causes you to make your decisions but you. People say, well, it's this problem, it's that thing. No, it's you. Well, now I'm condemned. Then stop hiding. It's your flesh. Knock it off. This is a hard message. Only if you're living in your flesh it is. Well, now I'm condemned. Knock it off. Did you ever come to realization that maybe God wants you to reckon yourself dead? That it's already been done, so stop trying to pick up your life and pick up His instead. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame Him by the fact that when they fainted, God didn't condemn them. He corrected them. Don't you get any mistake about it. God chastens the ones He loves. But He did not condemn them. He didn't reject them. He didn't say, okay, you're through. He corrected them. And He did it in mercy. And He applied the blood so that their conscience wouldn't need to bear the consequences of their decisions. He overcame them by the word of their testimony. If you have fainted, apply the blood. Apply the word. In Psalm 119, 165, if you have fainted, you don't have great peace because the word is not functioning in your heart. And the word is not functioning in your heart because humility has not set the word free in your heart. You see, sometimes people try to take on the word like, you know what they try to do? They try to take the word like it's a garden hose. And they're trying to hose something off. That's like my wife. Sometimes she'll let the dogs out during the day. If it's muddy, she'll hose off their feet. We do that sometimes. We try to take an area of our life and we try to use the word like a hose. Like it's going to make the difference. The cleansing isn't from the outside, it's from the inside. The word doesn't do any good if I don't mix faith. The word doesn't do any good if I'm not meek. The word doesn't do any good if there's no humility. And so you'll try to apply the word, but there's nothing to apply it with. There's nothing to apply it to. If there's no humility, there's no way to apply the word. Where are you going to put it? If you're going to receive the word, then receive it. In humility and meekness. And you mix faith with what you hear. But if I'm going to continue in fainting, then the word's not going to deliver me. If these are the choices I'm willing to make. Because the Word doesn't make my choices. The Word gives me a frame of reference when in humility and meekness before God, I mix faith with what I hear. But it doesn't make my choices. It just teaches me how to think if I will accept it as such. But if I've got that natural mind in there, the Word's not going to change that. If I really honor self, the Word's not going to... If I elevate myself, the word's not going to change that. If I grieve the Holy Spirit, the word's not going to change that. But I respond in humility. I'm meek before God. I'm quiet before Him. I be careful not to faint. But the word... If I am humble, and meekness is simply humility toward God, and humility is humility toward man. If I'm someone who's humble and I have meekness in my heart, and I mix faith with what I hear, then the word does help me to overcome. It causes overcoming. I grab a hold of God's promises. I grab a hold of its word, His word, and it transforms who I am. Have you ever seen someone who has spent several years in the Word of God with good teaching, but there is no transformation? Something's going on with the heart. Well, how do I fix it? You fix it by getting humble first and foremost. Humble before man, humble before God. Stop elevating the natural man and let him finally meet his rightful end in the grave. But people don't live like this. People think the Word of God is some kind of magic wand rather than a transforming power. Operate in the Word and you will not be moved. It's that simple. Nothing will move you. Nothing will offend you. Nothing will move you if you love the Word. It's one thing to utilize the Word as a tool. It's another thing to love the Word. They love not their own lives unto the death. How does a person love not their own life unto the death? And we know this is referring to the cross, but how does that happen? Well, if I'm going to be there, then I have to realize that I look unto the Savior, who is the author and the finisher of my faith, in Hebrews 12:2. I look to the Savior. That's what they did, the Israelites, with the brazen serpent. They looked to the brazen serpent and they were delivered. You see, the serpent still bit, but at that point it no longer killed. In my life, if I have fainted, I need to look to the Savior, who starts and completes, brings to fruition and fulfillment all that it means to operate in faith. As I'm looking unto Him, I wait upon the Lord in Isaiah 40 verse 31, and I renew my strength. I look to the Lord and I renew my strength if I am fainted. I keep my gaze on Him. That means I don't entertain thoughts outside of His thoughts. And yes, that may require some intellectual academic discipline. But good. You probably need it. Get a little bit disciplined. Get a little tough with your own flesh. How many people coddle their flesh and expect everybody else to? I think there's a lot of people like that. They babyfy their flesh and they want everybody to babyfy their flesh also. You know what? Why don't you give your flesh a swift kick in the seat of its pants? I'm not talking about doing that to someone. Do you do it to yourself? Stop entertaining the self-indulgence. And get a little tough with your flesh. And say, God is here. Flesh has no place in my life. God lives here. Flesh, you take a hike. God lives here. You have no place in my life. Flesh. You're a little tough. I think there's a lot of spiritual sissies. Oh, that this is the way I feel, and this is the mood I'm in, and this is how my day went, and this is how it was. Oh. You're a little tough with your flesh. You see, if you have fainted, then look to the Savior and wait on the Lord. What does it mean, wait on the Lord? Well, I'm waiting. It's not what it means. You wait. You look to see what His bidding is. You be a waiter upon the Lord. You stay attentive to the Lord. You look to see what direction He may give you. You move when He says move, and you stay when He says stay. And you wait upon the Lord, and He will renew your strength. Do you get that? This is how I get out of fainting. This is how I get out of being there. I wait on God, and He renews my strength so that I can mount up with wings as an eagle. I can soar above my problems. I can soar above my situations. I can soar above my trials. I can soar above the things that come against me or the hardships that I may encounter. They're not any hardships anymore. I have wings as an eagle, and I can run, and I'm not tired at all. But here's the tricky one. I can actually walk, and I don't faint. Why would you be fainting when you're walking and weary when you're running, not the other way around? Because nobody runs with a load on their back. Nobody runs when it's tough. Nobody runs when they are facing a wall. But they walk. You ever carry a heavy backpack? Maybe if you're in basic training, you might try. You have a heavy backpack, a heavy burden, about those, the same weight as you weigh, or maybe more. Nobody runs with that. You might run with a light burden, but you don't run with a heavy one. But you keep moving, and you walk. And sometimes it's hard to get through anything, but you keep moving, and you're walking. And you don't faint, because your strength has been renewed as you are attentive to the Lord. In your day, how attentive are you to God? How attentive are you to? I see, I got things to do. I can't be attentive to God. Really? Of course you can. If you're praying. Oh, I'm not saying you've got your feet, face to the ground and on your knees praying, that kind of praying. But I'm saying you're communing in your heart with God. That's what prayer is. That's why men ought always to pray. That's why you pray without ceasing, because you're continuously communing with God in all the circumstances that you find yourself in, and you don't faint. And you're alone by yourself and you don't faint, or you're very busy among a crowd of people and you don't faint, or you've got the open car engine in front of you taking, and you have no idea how to fix this thing, and you don't faint anyway. You just commune with God and He solves your problems. I'll tell you, I have encountered so many situations where I had no clue how to do a tangible thing. I was faced trying to do something, I don't know, whatever. Trying to do something, and He just, I have no idea how to do. God, how do I do this? Can you show me how? And you know, you figure it out. God shows you how to do it. Because you receive something from Him when you pray. What's the right thing for me to do, God? Well, pray and I'll tell you. Pray and I'll lead you. Pray and I'll order your steps. Pray and I will make impressions on your heart. By the way, impressions on your heart are not subjective impressions. Impressions on your heart are objective, subtle, small voice utterings of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about subjectivity. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit speaking. And He speaks to you when you pray. In 2 Corinthians 4, and verse 14, the Word of God says, "Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not." Why don't we faint? Because of the grace of God we don't faint as we stay giving thanks to Him. You ever get mad? Like something really gets under your skin and you get really angry? How do you deal with it? Do you let it rip at somebody? Do you throw? You do punch a wall, kick the door, kick the dog. What do you do? Scream at your kid or your spouse? What do? Try this. Give thanks. Well, I'm not in a mood to give thanks. I know, it's only because you're operating in evil right now. But you know, giving thanks to God is a very fast way to stop operating in evil. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But get this, the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are eternal. They are the greater reality. They are the greater truth. People get so concerned about their circumstances or how they feel, what they're doing. But it's all very temporal. But you have an eternal life. You see, if you go there into that temporal realm, living by moods and feelings or sight or natural reasoning, you're always going to faint. Living in natural disposition, you will always faint and start cooperating with another kingdom. But you stay because you need, in a communion with God, and you operate in the portion that God has given you, and you respond in faith, obedience, and you put your feelings to the side, and you just do it because God said to, and you'll find yourself with a life you didn't expect, because God has given you strength, because you're now operating in His kingdom. Amen.